And so that time arrived when in heaven it was time for Jesus to be born. I have no idea of how all of that transpired or how it was announced in heaven. But you and I can, in our own imagination, understanding the things that are revealed, we might have some understanding of how troubling it would have been had you been one of the angels in heaven. The fact that the angels know what's happening on this earth is evidence in the Bible. The Bible talks about little children that believe in the Lord, and that their angels always behold the face of their Father, therefore don't you harm the faith of a little child. The Bible talks about angels desiring to look into the things that are happening on this earth throughout all of that Old Testament period, which things the angels desired to look into. You and I need to understand there had to come that time whenever those angels who perhaps could have seen all the majesty of the glory of God. Imagine being able to see what limited things that we could see from heaven, from our perspective, and those heavens declare the glory of God. Perhaps those angels could look at that entire universe and they saw the glory of God. And then all of a sudden, something happened in heaven, some way the information was given to them that Emmanuel is going to come and live on this earth. Imagine you're an angel in heaven and you say, "Where's earth?" Imagine that you're there and you look at this great expanse. Why that place? This universe that, if science is right in our day, 13 billion light years across, and there's a little speck of dust there, and deity is going to live on that earth? How on earth could that ever happen? Whenever the Bible says that deity, the one Emmanuel, the one who came and lived on this earth, he had made all of that 13.5 billion light years expanse of the universe. All things were made through him, and without him not one thing has been made exist that has not been made through him. And then all of a sudden, he's coming to a speck called the earth. How on earth could deity, who measures the width of that universe with the span of his hand, that's how Isaiah describes it, he who had created the world being divine could look at that great, great expanse of the universe and measure it just the width of between his thumb and his index finger, to talk in human terms. Just that. He measures it all. And something happened. And he left deity. Philippians chapter 2 says, he emptied himself. If we can imagine, he who created the universe, he who measures the universe with the span of his hand, gave up so much that he came and lived on this earth as a helpless baby. He couldn't feed himself. He who had fed all mankind and created all of the animals that were there and the vegetation that was there, that has fed all mankind since the very creation of the world, he was hungry and he could not feed himself. He could not walk. He emptied himself. And one of the great marvels that would have bothered the minds of those angelic beings is, how can all of this be? Why is all of this happening? What on earth is going on? Hebrews chapter 10 says that before he came into this world, before God gave him a body, that's the body we were talking about as an infant that grew into adulthood. He says, a body you have prepared for me. And he said this before he ever exited heaven. When he came into the world, he said, a body you have prepared for me. Lo, listen to this. Lo, I have come to do your will. conformed to His image in a determination to do the will of God. You understand the importance of it as illustrated in the life of Jesus and as it's a part of this very lesson this very night. Conform to His image. Lord, how determined are you to be conformed to His image in your determination? He gave it all up and became Emmanuel. And so He says, before He ever came into the world, I have come to do your will. And He did. In fact, John 8:29 says, Jesus speaking, I do always seek to do the things that please Him. Ever wondered about how discouraged Jesus could have become in His life? Perhaps you've been discouraged. I want you to understand that when you've been disappointed by friends and friends figuratively have stabbed you in the back or betrayed you with a kiss, that's the very thing that He endured. And yet, underlying all of His faithfulness to God was a determination as He came into the world, I have come for this very purpose. I have come to do your will. And I always do that. I always seek to please Him. And from the time when He entered into the world until the last day that He lived before He was crucified, Thy will be done, not mine. Determined to do His will. I want to say something to you young people. At age 12, when he was lost by his parents, left behind in the city of Jerusalem. And finally they found him in the temple. Here is a 12-year-old Emmanuel, conformed to His image. At age 12 said, how is it that you have sought me? Luke chapter 2 and verse 49. Do you not know that I must? And throughout this lesson you'll hear the word must again and again. I must be about my Father's business. Young people, you can decide in your heart and in your life right now, almost from the very age where Jesus was, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be about my Father's business. I don't care what happens. I don't care all that confronts me. I am going to do the will of my Father. I am determined that I'm going to do the will of my Father. Early in the life of Jesus, we come to that period of His life when He's in Samaria. We know the story of what happened when He was talking to that woman at the well of Samaria, the Samaritan woman. The disciples have gone into the city to buy food, and they come back out to where Jesus is. And He's talking to this woman. And they say to Jesus, Jesus, let me interrupt you, Jesus. Eat. Jesus is doing personal work. And yet He, who was as human as you and I are, for He was tempted in all points like as we are, John chapter 4 says, my food is to do the will of my Father and to finish it. Jesus came into the world with one purpose in this world. And a part of doing that one purpose in this world had to do with always seeking to please the Lord. That's what He said. I do always seek to do the things that please Him. And so when the disciples said, Lord, stop doing this. It's time to eat. Jesus said, John 4:34, I have food to eat that you do not know about. And they said, who's brought Him food? They didn't understand what He was saying. And so He explained it in this way whenever He said, my food is to do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And He said to them, that He may say to us sometimes when we get our priorities out of whack, whenever the physical things of this earth matters far more than the spiritual, He said to the apostles in the very next verse when He says, say not that there are yet 4 months and then the harvest comes. lift up your eyes into the field, for they're white unto harvest. You need to understand. The only harvest field that was there was the Samaritans. The Jews had no association with Samaritans. Racial prejudice supreme. Amazed that Jesus would be talking to a Samaritan. Most of the Jews would have been. And there he is talking to a Samaritan woman. And he says to the apostles, lift up your eyes into the field, for they're white unto harvest. What transpires in the rest of that chapter? This woman has gone back into the city, and that the people, the whole city, after they've heard her voice, the whole city is coming out. Lift up your eyes to a whole city. They're white unto harvest. I am determined to do the will of my Father, and my food is secondary to doing the will of my Father and to finish it. You begin talking about in John chapter 5 about evidences of the deity of Jesus. You start in about midway through that chapter, and he says, there are a lot of ways you can know that I am the Son of God. Verse 39 is the last one of the five things found in that chapter is, just read the Bible. Search the Scriptures. They testify of me. He says, you sent unto John, and John says, John's a witness. But listen to part of the evidence that Jesus gave. Here is how you can know my deity. He says, I have a greater witness than that of John. John chapter 5, verse 36. For the works that the Father has given me to finish, they bear witness that I do, and that I have been sent by the Father. You think of all that Jesus endured in doing the works that the Father had given him to do. You began looking at the people that he taught, the people that turned away from him. You looked at those individuals who were healed, like those nine lepers who walk away and never even came back and expressed gratitude. You look at the multitudes that he had fed, and they then began to follow him for the loaves and for the fishes and not for the spiritual message that he was given. Jesus, how do you put up with that? Jesus, don't you ever get discouraged? And Jesus said to them, the works that the Father has sent me to do and finish it, before he came into this world, a body you have given me. And while I am on this earth, I am determined above every other thing to finish the works that the Father has given unto me. Imagine him healing people who were only there for some medical help or medical blessing that he could give. Imagine how tiring that would be when the multitudes were so great that were coming for healing, and he healed them, every one. Listen to what Jesus said in reference to this. When evening had come, they brought in many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled that was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. He took of all our infirmities and our sicknesses. Jesus, why are you healing all of these sick people? Because that's the will of my Father, and I am determined to do the will of my Father, and you can follow me for the loaves and the fishes, and you can look on me as a cheap way of getting medical help, but that's not going to discourage me. Your dishonesty of purpose is not going to destroy me. I have come to do thy will, O God, and nothing is going to remove that. Are you aware why Jesus taught in parables? Because that was part of the will of the Father. In Matthew chapter 13, they came and they said, Jesus, why are you speaking unto them in parables? And he says, I'm speaking because seeing they will see, and hearing they will not hear. Seeing they will not see, and hearing they will not hear, nor do they understand. In them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. And then he quotes that Old Testament verse. Jesus, why are you speaking in parables? Because that is the will of my Father. Those of you who teach Bible classes, what is the will of your Father in reference to teaching others? Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. When you come near the end of the life of Jesus, you begin seeing it in an even greater way. It's rather difficult to fit John 17 in the place that it fits, but evidently he must have prayed that prayer while he was in that upper room with those disciples. One time I thought perhaps he prayed that prayer in Gethsemane, in fact for several years because of a Bible picture that I'd seen in the Jewel Miller film strips, I thought he'd prayed that prayer in Gethsemane. That's not where it is. Chapter 18 says that after all of the events that had transpired, he then goes out to Gethsemane. But I want you to listen to part of that prayer. John chapter 17 and verse 4. Jesus prays to the Father and said, I have glorified you on this earth. I have finished the work that you gave me to do. He lived his life, determined above everything else to finish the work that the Lord had given him to do. Conformed to his image means we're conformed to his image in a desire to always do the will of God. And so Jesus said, I put up with all of this for the last 3.5 years in my public work among the people. And Lord, what you have given me to do, I have finished that work. Imagine then, even before he prayed this prayer, he's in that upper room. He knows who is going to betray him. In fact, the Bible indicates that they all began to ask, Lord, is it I? When he said, have I not chosen you all and one of you will betray me? And all of them began to say, Lord, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? And when Judas asked the question, is it I? Jesus says, yes, it's you. Imagine Jesus and his determination to please God, kneeling before Judas and washing Judas's feet. Because a part of being conformed to his image is that we love our enemies and we bless them that curse us. You and I need to understand, there's a living picture that is involved right there. He perhaps knew more about this than Judas himself did. Judas may not have been aware of the fact that the book of Zechariah says it'll be 30 pieces of silver that will be used to buy a potter's field. But Jesus could have known that. And for sure, whenever he says to Judas, what you do, do quickly. He knew of everything that was going to transpire. One of the 12. One of the ones that he had empowered to go out and cast out demons and heal the sick and to raise the dead. He gave to that very individual the power to raise the dead. And now he's going to be betrayed. Jesus, why are you doing this? Because of all of these prophecies that must be fulfilled. This is the will of my Father, and I am here determined that the will of my Father will be fulfilled. There's an interesting account that we may have overlooked in the book of Luke. There is that account where the Bible says, it must be Mark. Mark chapter 8. In Mark chapter 8, he comes to Bethesda, and he's doing some things there in that place, and he takes the blind man by the hand and he raises him up. And then the Bible says, his own relatives thought he was beside himself. I know where that verse is on the page. I'll get to it in just a minute. Maybe it's Mark chapter 3. I thought I had this word. The multitude came together so that they could not so much as eat bread. But when his own people heard about it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is out of his mind. Brothers of Jesus, what's your evaluation of this brother that you've had? He is crazy. That's in Mark chapter 3, verse 21. In verse 31, they go to the house where Jesus is. His brother and his mother came standing outside. They sent unto him, calling him, and said, come out, we need to talk to you. Could not get inside the house. Why have they gone? Because they think he is insane. Jesus, are you discouraged? Has anybody ever said things that discourage you? Anybody, has been family members that felt that way toward you and did everything they could to destroy your faith and fidelity to the Lord? His own brother said, he's insane. Let's go take him home. And whenever they said, your brothers are there, he says, there's something more important than my brother, and so there are those more important than my mother, and it is those who are doing the will of the Father. Jesus, how determined are you to serve the Lord? Nothing's going to keep me. I don't care what people say about me. I don't care of how tempting these physical things might be. I'm determined to do the will of my Father. We talked about that matter of food. In Luke chapter 4, the Bible says he was 40 days without food there in the wilderness. Can you imagine deity being hungry and deity having the power to turn stone into bread? The Bible said the devil came to him daily to tempt him. You read the account in Matthew, and it's only at the end of his 40 days of fasting. But Luke said it was happening all along. That he was tried every day of his life. Lord, how do you resist temptation? Because my Father says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by the word of God. And a part of my doing the will of my Father is to not turn stone into bread. How determined, Jesus, are you? As they leave the upper room and they head toward Gethsemane, listen to these words. He's leaving the upper room. They've been arguing in that upper room as to who is the greatest in the kingdom. He's about to say with them, watch and pray with me, and to come back and say, can you not watch with me 1 hour? They head toward Gethsemane. And the Bible says that they sang a hymn and they went out to the Mount of Olives. That's in Mark chapter 14, verse 26. Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. That very night, Jesus could have kept his own brethren from stumbling, his own apostles. But truth was involved. Doing the will of his Father was involved, and so he was determined that he was going to do the will of the Father, and this scripture must be fulfilled. You begin reading the things that are stated whenever that multitude came out, and Judas at the very front of all of that. Jesus said to that multitude, do you not think that I cannot now call more than 12 legions then? But how then could the scriptures be fulfilled that this must happen in this way? God said it. It is the will of God to strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. It is the will of God that all that I'm about to do and endure to be fulfilled. And Jesus says, and it must happen because God said it was going to happen, and I must be about my Father's will. I must be doing His will. In fact, He said, to that very multitude, continue to read from Mark chapter 14, this time verse 49, I was daily with you in the temple and you did not seize me, but the scriptures must be fulfilled. You think he enjoyed being there? You think he enjoyed being in Gethsemane and seeing Judas betray him? Do you think he enjoyed seeing all of the disciples, Matthew chapter 26 says, all of the disciples forsook him and fled? Do you think he enjoyed being bound and led away like some criminal, or more like some animal that was led because he was in a bound situation? Lord, why are you doing this? Because these things must be fulfilled, and I'm determined. You've given me a body, Lord, and I'm going to use this body to do your will. You begin to look further, and you'll continue to see this same thing transpiring in the life of Jesus. In the book of John, chapter 19, when Jesus had received the sour wine on the cross, you know those stories, the words that he spoke on the cross? You want to see one determined to be about doing his Father's will, then look at the compassion Jesus showed toward his own mother. And look at the forgiving heart that he showed toward those who were about to crucify him, or those who were crucifying him. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You look at how he dealt with those thieves. Even that one who at first was beginning to mock Jesus about the things that he had done. And you look at the compassionate, loving nature of Jesus, and he says to that thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. Humanity of Jesus is shown in the words when he said, I thirst. And the loneliness of Jesus on that cross is shown whenever he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? But they gave him sour wine to drink. And the Bible said, Jesus said, it is finished. He came into this world with a determination to do the will of his Father. When you came into the body of Jesus, what determination did you have? I'm going to be faithful. God, help me to be faithful. God, help me. God, I'm determined. I'm going to really try to be a spiritual person. But sometimes there are those things that have discouraged us, and sometimes the secular part of this world takes away and takes priority above the spiritual thing. Physical food above sharing spiritual food with others. Sometimes the words of others that are intended to discourage us. He is insane. His own brothers, embarrassed by him. Lord, how do you do it? My purpose to coming in this world, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. And in Gethsemane, his prayer was, not my will, but your will be done. And then he said, it is finished. Following his resurrection, he met with those disciples on the road to Emmaus. And there are some amazing words that are found there. Luke chapter 24, he said to them, these words are the words which I spake to you. It's actually to the apostles. When I spoke to you while I was still with you. These are the words that I spoke to you that must be fulfilled, that were written in the law of the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Did you hear the word must? Jesus said, all things must be fulfilled. Nothing's going to dissuade me. My purpose on this earth is to do what God wants me to do. And from the time before you ever entered this world, and from the time that you entered into the body of Christ, there was that determination. Jesus, what is underlying behind all of this? All things that are written must be fulfilled. And then he says, though everything that's in the law and the prophet and the Psalms, every one of those prophecies, Jesus said, it's finished. That's what I have done. In an application way. Parents, don't finish. Don't lose sight of the importance that God has given to you in teaching your own children, like Mary and Joseph must have taught Jesus, for at age 12 he understood what it was all about. Where did he learn that? The responsibility you have of parents. And the tendency that we have sometimes is when our children are little, we really try to mold and to shape their lives. But you got to do God's will throughout all of their lives. And young people, sometimes you may think your parents are unreasonable. But you need to understand it is their faith in Almighty God. They could have peace a whole lot more if they always let you have your way. There'd be no strife. And that's a part of the philosophy that's in the world about how to raise children today. But you and I need to understand that we need to place in the heart of our children those very things. I have come to do thy will. And parents, don't even after your children get out of the home, don't you dare give up on them. I've known of children who've been away from the Lord 30 and 40 years who came back to the Lord, reared in the church. But a godly mother, a godly grandmother, as long as she was alive, was praying every day for them, doing everything that she could do, or that mother or that father doing everything that they could do to bring that child back. Don't you dare give up on your children. You've placed within their heart an understanding that they need to have that determination. I'm going to do the will of God. And then in just daily living, whatever relationship that we have to others, to be conformed to His image. Even hereunto were you called. Christ left us an example that we should follow in His steps. Lord, what are your steps? I'm determined to do the will of God. And that does not mean a life of sinless perfection, but a determination to do the will of God is to admit wrong that's in our life and to straighten it up and to start again and to start anew. But look at the life of Jesus, those very things that sometimes overwhelm us. You and I need to understand Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, and yet he could finish that very life that he had come to live in this earth, because in his mind, my purpose on this earth is to fulfill his will. Could I speak to those of you who are preachers? Those who perhaps will hear this lesson on the internet and at other times, other preachers, could I talk to you about your life? Jesus preached the Word of God even when it was unpopular. And it is the will of God in your life for you to fulfill the will of God just like Jesus did. For the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine. But preachers and those who teach others, let me encourage you, preach the word. When it's in season, when it's out of season, that a part of your preaching is the reproving of wrong that is done in an age of non-confrontation and political correctness. The pulpits have become a place where there are pleasant platitudes that people hear, they go away feeling rather good. Sometimes a part of the very nature of preaching is to upset people, to convict them of the wrong that is within their lives. Preachers, are you fulfilling your job as a preacher of the gospel? Could I talk to those of you who are elders? I know how discouraging it is to be an elder in the kingdom of God. But let me remind you that God has given you a work to do, and that is to find that lost sheep and to bring that lost sheep back. That there might be rejoicing in heaven and in the presence of the angels that are there, the joy on the throne of heaven, because you, as a shepherd of the flock, has found that sheep. And that's the will of God for your life. And while it gets discouraging again and again, don't you ever let the fact that sometimes people, you want them to go to heaven more than they themselves want to go to heaven, don't let that discourage you from doing everything you can to bring about their restoration. Well, what about when I get discouraged? You've given me a body, and I'm going to use this body as long as I have this body on this earth. As one who must give an account for the souls over which I oversee, I must do the will of my Father which is in heaven. When Paul came to the end of his life, and you make this application if you're a young person, make this an application if you're that young adult or middle age, if you're among those who are in the sunset years of your life, to be able, as Paul was writing 2 Timothy. Some have said, and it's probably an exaggeration, that as he penned these words, he could hear the footsteps of those who were about to take him and behead him for the cause of Christ. Whether that's true or not, he knew the end was about to come. The time of my departure is at hand. And he said, I have kept the faith. Listen, I have finished the race. You don't know where the finish line is. You may die young. You may outlive all of your peers. But regardless of which situation that is, when you come to the end of your life, you think, God has redeemed my body by the blood of Jesus. And a body hast thou prepared for me. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. God, help us to be humble enough to admit our mistakes. God, help us to be courageous enough to make the changes that come in our lives. God, help us to understand grace and mercy and just how much God wants us to be in heaven, and the fact that He will, with open arms, receive us regardless of whatever we've done. But God, help us by the very reading of the Word and perhaps by the very talking about that Word in this lesson tonight, to be stirred again to say, I do always seek to please the one who sent me. God, help us all.